All right, the final thing is, and this is so stupid, I just collected these because I noticed that the Comes to Life books, two of them had two different covers.
Yes, I should notate that. Life with Papa and the Eager Beavers.
Right? Yep.
That's great. I'm going to get those added, like, literally tonight. And I want to get the PDF, you know, the printer-friendly one, updated and on the website. And that way people can, because it's amazing how many people use that. Did I tell you that there was 1 week in December or something that it was downloaded off my website like 200 times?
Holy crap. That's crazy.
We're taking over Phil's podcast. We are deep in bear country, and I am not Phil Gonzalez, and you are...
I'm not Phil Gonzalez either.
I am Brad Mariska.
And I'm Jeremy Gloff.
And we are Berenstain Bears Collectors. You know us from the Collectors Corners episodes, and we're doing another takeover. When was the last time we did a takeover, Jeremy?
It's been too long.
It has been too long. I think it was a couple of years ago, actually. Yep.
So thank you, Phil. Thanks for trusting us with your amazing podcast.
Yeah. We might not have the wit or the cynicism of Phil, but we definitely have some deep knowledge of the Bears. And what we wanted to talk about today is kind of the tool that we have created to help us to build our collection of Berenstain Bears books, which is simply a bibliography of which there wasn't ever a good one. Like what's the deal? Why is there no good list of Berenstain Bears books? Why did I have to create it? That's the question. And how did you discover it? Because that's such a good story. Why don't you talk a little bit about that?
All right. So first of all, we must give credit where credit's due. Brad has done 99.999% of this project. And every year he just sends me the project and I scan over it and give him my list of questions to ask. And we've worked together on this for over a decade now.
Well, and I appreciate you giving me that credit, but I might have done 99% of the work, but without your eyes, the document wouldn't get better every year. So I appreciate that because you know so much and you look closely at things, and I appreciate your editing abilities, because even some of the things that you were, we were talking here a little bit ago and you were giving me some notes on the current list, and some of them are notes you've given me before that I forgot to write down, or I misplaced my notes and they never made it into the document. So I'm going to be making some additions and edits to the list yet tonight to make it even better. But anyway, cool. How did you first discover my list and all of that?
Sure. So, of course, I collected the Berenstain Bears when I was a kid. During my punk rock days, I sold my entire collection to Mary Wolobin, my Arby's manager, to her daughter for like $20. It had a lot of really rare stuff in there. And it even had a bag my grandma made for me that I never will get again. Because, you know, it's something she made for me.
Mm-hmm.
Come the early 2000s, of course, eBay was out. And I started recollecting all the music and books that I had as a kid. And I remember my friend Chris was visiting from Oregon. And there was a Berenstain Bear lot on eBay. And I said, should I start recollecting these again? It was like 40 books. He's like, do it. So that one eBay purchase kind of dictated the rest of my life.
Wow.
So I bought a lot of Berenstain Bear books. And once I had that, then I had to keep collecting and try to get all the things that I'd had when I was a kid. Because I knew there was stuff that was kind of more obscure and weirder. So right. I Googled Berenstain Bear's bibliography. And this, like, it was frontier.net.
That's right.
/ something, 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 like... It was like one of those GeoCities sites.
Right.
And this guy, Brad, had a list. So, you know, I printed out the list and I just started for the next couple of years collecting it. And I emailed him maybe like on the later side of those 2 years, because I started, you know, those are my first round of edits. I had some questions. Mm-hmm. I said, well, what about this? And I will say Brad did not write back to me because he probably thought, Oh, that was some weirdo.
There were two reasons for that. So first of all, I remember getting that email from you, but at the time I had just started kind of getting back into recollecting. I had taken a pause for a few years from about the year 2001 until about 2003. I really wasn't collecting. Even in 2003, when I first published my list,
right?
I basically just wanted to make a list of what I knew existed, but I wasn't really actively collecting at the time. So when I got your email, I was busy. And so I didn't respond. And I was like, it wasn't a priority for me. And then what I remember is somehow you found me on AIM, AOL Instant Messenger, and sent me. And then I thought you were just like a creeper. So then for the longest time, I didn't respond to that because I was like, why does this guy want to talk to me about Berenstain Bears? Because for me, it was always just like a very personal thing. I didn't really think about the whole fact that A, there were other collectors out there who were interested, and B, that I could work with them to build my collection or make my list better. But then eventually we did connect. And I don't remember if you just sent me another email or if I finally responded. And things really started rolling after that.
Yeah, I mean, definitely in the collector's community, you really can encounter some weirdos sometimes. I mean, I've dealt with that myself, so.
Well, and this was before social media, right?
Mm-hmm,
like there wasn't Facebook. So if a stranger reached out to you, like, it was like stranger danger. You know, I read the Berenstain Bears were about strangers. And I was a little suspicious and I was like, this is really strange. Why is this guy like want to talk to me about Berenstain Bears?
Now, from my side, on my side of the court, I'm like, he must be really Christian and thinks he knows I'm a gay musician. He doesn't want to talk to me. But here we are all these years later.
That's right. I when you sent me the message, I Googled your name and I was like, oh my God, I definitely don't want to talk to this weirdo.
I love it. I don't remember that I found you on AIM at all. That's funny.
Yeah. I remember that very vividly. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Well, as you've learned from working with me on collecting, when I get determined something, like I will go every format to get the information I need.
You are. That is what's so great about you. I love it when I get a message from you and you're like, I went down a rabbit hole and I discovered this and that and the other thing. And well, like, for example, we were just talking a little bit about those unique booklets, those activity books that are tucked inside these four DVDs that we never would have known otherwise. But you got one and you started researching it and discovering that everyone in that series actually had one, and there's actually four of them.
So a little story on that one. It was actually during COVID, and on eBay I saw a DVD and it had a little sticker on it that said booklet inside. So I emailed the seller. I'm like, hey, will you open it for me? They're selling it for like $5. But they're like, we are not compromising the shrink wrap. I'm like, really? So I had to buy it sight unseen. And then it turns out it did have a unique booklet in it. So I'm glad I took the plunge. And there may be more out there we don't even know about, which is cool. Like, after all these years, we're still finding things.
I think that's what makes collecting fun, right? Especially when you're collecting something that has been around for a long time. We're not just having to like go to the store and buy the new stuff. There's things that, you know, were released 10 or 20, 30, maybe even 40 years ago that were fairly rare. And they just randomly turn up one day. For example, I finally got, I've been trying to complete my Berenstain Bear Family squeeze toy collection made by the Stallwood Book Company, or Stallwood Toy Company, in 1984. And I just this week got Sister Bear and was able to complete my family. And I've been looking for those for 15 years.
Like, you that just is never... insane. I saw that. Yeah. I can't believe it.
Yeah. So like, that's why, you know, collecting never gets old as long as you're willing to kind of go to the next level and discover new things or different editions of things. And that's why I think the list is so important and why so many people use the list. So I suppose the first list that you said you saw was my 2003 version. I think that's the very first one I put up on my, like you said, frontiernet.net like personal like page. I've got it up in front of me right now. Is there anything that really jumps out at you about this original list that I put on the internet that you first discovered?
Let me pull it up here.
So either the 2003 version was the first one that I saved, or maybe it was the first one, but you know how it is, like, especially in the old days, like you would just take a document and keep updating it. I didn't
create
multiple versions. So I probably started this list before 2003, but 2003 is probably the first time I published it online, which is why I have a separate document of it.
All right. So let me scroll down, because the other, in like the coloring books, is where I started zeroing in the first time.
Exactly, because at that time there were so many coloring books I just didn't know about, or different editions of coloring books.
Yeah. So we didn't know about the Baby Bear's toy animals at that time.
Nope.
We didn't know there was two Papa's pizzas.
We didn't know about the like the theme book and the ABC fun. But I had, obviously, at that point, I already had like the fun. We talked about the Fun with the Berenstain Bears sticker book.
Right.
I did have that at that point, so...
Now, the one thing that was on here that I always was trying to email you about is you had, and this is because of Amazon. Sometimes Amazon would incorrectly list book titles and then leave them there.
Are you talking about Scribble Magic?
Yep, Scribble Magic.
Yes!
Which turned out to be a magic fun riddle book or whatever.
Yep, the magic picture riddle book. Not Magic Pictures, though, right?
Right.
Because I feel like Magic Pictures is not on here either.
Right, that's one... that I just found from the ISBN on the Random House copyright catalog or whatever, the Library of Congress. I was crazy and went through all those.
which was so helpful, though, because, you know, like all I knew in those early days were like things that I could find listed on Amazon, and who knew if they were accurate or not.
Now, something in the early days that really messed me up is if a book wasn't published, but Amazon made a page for it, they didn't take the page down. So there was a Family Time Halloween Fun coloring book that never was published.
That's right. There was going to be, it's exactly right. It was the Family Time series. It was Halloween Fun. It was listed on Amazon, and then they ended up never publishing it. So that was actually, I think, on my list for a while.
Yep.
And then I had to take it back off.
And then like the series like Cook It and all that, there was one that was going to be called Recycle It, I think, that was never released.
That's correct. Yeah.
So... yeah, and there was one more. I'll never remember the name of it, but it was cool. Scavenger Hunt. There was a book that was supposed to be called Scavenger Hunt.
There was supposed to be a Scavenger Hunt. You're exactly right. Yeah.
Yep.
I think it's interesting, too. Like, if, there's a few books on here kind of randomly where I listed the ISBN number.
Right.
Which makes me think that those are maybe the books I didn't have. So, like, if you look at Scribble Magic or Paint Water... or Stamp Fun, I think that I included the numbers next to them because at that time I didn't have two separate lists of what I actually had in my collection versus what I knew to exist. And I sort of used this one document to help me keep searching for the ones that I didn't have. So that's why some of the more rare books on here have ISBN numbers and the majority do not, because I was still looking for how to get along at school because I didn't have that one yet. Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool. It's like going back in time to, you know, when we're just starting off our collections.
Well, and it's funny because like I never obviously look at this list from 20 years ago because again, this list was I made in 2003 and now we're in 2022. So this would be the 20th year of the list. We're coming up on the 20th anniversary and it's fun to scroll through here. And for example, to know that like, I didn't know there were the different state editions of the Sinister Smoke Ring, for example, at this time. I just knew that there was a chapter book by that title. And then we discovered that there were seven other editions with extra content and different color covers.
Now, let me ask a question just for fun. Was eBay different back in the early days to you than it is now, or is it still eBay?
I feel like eBay has like not changed much, and eBay has always been my number one go-to. I started surfing eBay in like 1998 on a daily basis. I mean, I go to eBay almost every single day and have almost every single day since 1998. And it's funny because the actual format of eBay has not changed much.
Right.
It's like, it's still kind of the same, and it's just a great place to find things. So it's always my go-to, and it's always been really easy. Now, of course, if you remember in the early days of eBay, you had to actually mail someone like a check, and then you'd wait for them to cash the check, and then they would ship you your item.
Right.
And sometimes it would take a month because you had to mail it to them, then they'd hold your check for a week or two, then they'd ship you your item, and you had to trust that the seller was actually going to do it. And I think that's one of the things that made eBay so important and so trusted, is that from the very beginning, you had a seller rating that you would rate the other person who you were doing a transaction with and give them either positive or negative feedback, which helped you to identify people that maybe were trying to scam you or not. Because I think only once did I ever almost get scammed on eBay, and I caught it before I mailed the check.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, it's really nostalgic looking at this list and thinking about how it's grown. You know, this first list here is just barely, you know, it's a little over 8 pages long, and my new list is 30 pages. So right. There's so many more items, and there's so many more editorial notes about the different editions or books that a certain edition is based on or inspired by, or all of that. And of course, there's just lots and lots of new books because they're still being written.
Yeah. I think a couple things that we should note is in the evolution of your list, different things happened that contributed to it. I think when the Museum of Play in Rochester released all their collection online, that's when we saw a lot of things that we didn't know existed. Right?
Yes, that is such a good reminder, because these books that we didn't know about that were just a name on like a random Amazon link or in the Library of Congress, now we had a picture, and that was really cool. When the Museum of Play digitized like their collections, and you could see a picture of like every item, we saw so many of those activity books for the first time. We not only knew they existed, but then we knew what they looked like.
Yep.
Because for the longest time, we didn't even know what these books looked like.
Yep.
That's crazy.
And then for a little short window of time, the official Berenstain website put up their own bibliography, which had a couple things that we still don't know if exist on it. And they don't know either. So I don't know where this list came from. But that was only a very short amount of time.
It was only up for a couple. List. Yeah, it was only up for a couple years, and it was not accurate. And now they use my list, which I think is the ultimate, you know, compliment. That's pretty cool. That, you know, when you go to their website or when they send out their monthly newsletter, that they link to my page for the official bibliography. Yeah.
So when would you say that we started really, really digging into this together? Like late 2009, 2010?
Yeah, I would say, you know, if I was going to put a date on it, I would say, yeah, maybe as early as 2008.
Okay.
I'd have to go back and look at what's cool about this, and why I'm glad we're having this conversation, is because about that time I started saving like each version of my list.
Oh.
And I think you can we'd be able to sort of recreate when you and I really started working together, because the list would be updated more often, and the updates would be more significant, because between about 2003 and 2008, this list doesn't change much.
I think another shout out for my collecting was Aaron Higgins' website, where he had a lot of those coloring book covers, which weren't online anywhere. Retro Reprints was his website.
Absolutely. Any collectors who are out there, and I linked to his website in my list now, both the printer-friendly PDF, but also the actual website, that when you get to the coloring book section of the list, I say, hey, go check out this guy's website, because it's just a cool site. But again, he's got pictures of almost all of the Berenstain Bears activity books now, at least the covers, and for some of them, yep, there's even interior pages. And both you and I have scanned a few of those books for him.
Yep. Cool. And it's interesting because, like, if you look at another universe, like the Mercer Mayer Little Critter, because no one's taking the initiative there, it's the Wild West there. There's not a group online.
Right.
There's only a crappy bibliography. But, you know, I'm so glad that you do this to keep a really good record of this, because if you didn't, it just wouldn't exist.
Right. Well, and it's fun for me, but I get so much pleasure from knowing that other people are using it. Like people all the time message me and say, "Hey, where do I find this on your list?" Or I think this book is missing, and that's maybe because they're using the 3-year-old printer friendly edition, which is why I want to get like the PDF version of this list fully updated. By the time that this podcast episode comes out, the new list will be published. But it's funny because like I just sometimes will go to the website, BerenstainBearsCollectors.com, and just scroll and be just proud of like everything that we've done and all of the information that's there. And it's a fun project, and it's so much more complete than it was 20 years ago.
Now, is Phil using your list as he goes through his chronology?
I think he is. Now, I should ask him, because when he first started his podcast, he had used my list or some list, and he actually had a list on his podcast website. And then when he would do an episode, he would do strike through the text so that he knew he had covered it.
Right.
And then a couple years ago when he switched platforms, that list went away. But I'll give you an example. He just sent me, he must be doing an episode on Do Not Fear, God Is Near coming up, because he sent me a message today and said, "Hey, I think you'd never realize this because I just discovered this." And then he went to my website and saw I didn't have a note that Do Not Fear, God Is Near is based on Spooky Shadows.
Oh, I never knew. I never read God Is Near.
Because some of those Living Lights books, I never actually read them all. So like I would collect them and I'd put them on the shelf. And what we need to do is now go through like basically every one of them and just double check, because what we're discovering is that almost all of them were based on a Cub Club book.
It's interesting because Phil will discover things that we didn't know.
Like, that's right.
It's not on your bibliography, and I don't know if it should be, but like the Chick-fil-A covers, they added like a bike helmet to the Bad Influence. Like there's little things that change.
You know what? And then you know what? I'm going to go to my list here and I'm going to like Chick-fil-A. What's the name of that actually, that book? The bike helmet one.
Isn't it Bad Influence?
Bad Influence. Yep.
Yep.
Bad Influence. I need that. That should be a note on my list as well, that it's the same book, but the art is different.
I think the hug and makeup had like one change. Like they took out these daggers in the text. Yep. So I think those Chick-fil-A's were kind of sanitized versions of.
Well, they were. And it's funny because, you know, Phil got to talk to Mike Berenstain about that. And Mike talked about how like Chick-fil-A was like, "Well, you gotta change this and you gotta fix that." And
Oh, good old Chick-fil-A.
I love it. I just love it. But it makes collecting even more interesting, because then you look at things differently and you look at things a little more closely and you just don't take anything for granted now. Like every time I get a new book, I read through it and then I read through it again and I'm like, "Wait, have I read this before? Have I seen these pictures before?" Like right. Because you just don't know. And sometimes they don't tell, like for example, think about the new version of The Bully that came out a few years ago.
All right.
When you read the copyright page, there's no indication that that book has been updated or changed in any way. It just has the same copyright information as the original version of The Bully, but it's a different book. I know that.
And they were nice enough to email us, right?
To tell us they were changing the ending. So that's something that I want collectors to know, is that if you use my list, you'll find out about some of those really small nuances, like if you're really serious about collecting.
Here's a stupid one that just popped in my head. Did you notate the Almanac originally had like a blue cover, then it turned white? Or is that too picky? Like stuff like that.
I don't think, well, I did indicate, like, for example, in the Counting book that there's a blue cover and a white cover. Now for Almanac, it does explain how the original cover, which was white, was imprinted with Beginner Books. And then in future editions, it said Bear Facts Library, and that's when
I love.
Right. Which I love the Bear Facts Library, right? Yeah. But that's when, like, the color changed.
I do have to say, when I was editing over your current list, I had a bunch of things in my head. I'm like, I'm going to get them on this one. And you had everything on. You had, like, almost – it was so thorough and so well done. And there are little things I'm like, he won't remember that one. And you did. Oh, like, thanks. Just amazing job.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, if when I discover something or when somebody tells me about it, I usually write them down. And then at some point when I make my next update, I incorporate them. But the one of the reasons that the updates that I miss most often are yours is because we just talk so often. And yes. We just sort of talk very like socially or like off the cuff. And you're like, oh, hey, have you ever noticed this thing? And then, of course, like we go on to a new topic and I forget to write it down. That's why when you started going through these tonight, I was like, I am writing all of these down because I don't want to forget, because you've told me about most of these before.
Yeah, we'll be talking about like a change in the bibliography. Then we're like, did you see what happened in the collectors group?
Yep, I know. And I was like, can you believe that? Drama in the Facebook group.
There was one really great thing that you caught a couple years ago. There was like a compilation. I can't remember the name of it, but the original edition had like 3 books. Then they did another one with like 4 books. Was it like a Christmas treasury or something?
Yeah, I think it was maybe the Easter treasury.
Okay.
And they look exactly the same and they have the exact same title.
Yeah.
And the one year it came out as 3 books in one. And then the next year it came out and it was suddenly 4 books in one.
Goodness.
And I don't know how I noticed that. I think I was scrolling through eBay, and because it was a pretty unique book, it kind of caught my eye. And I said to myself, wait, do I have that one? And I clicked on it and I was like, yeah, I do. And it said 4 books in one. I was like, I better just double check that I have that on my list. I went to my list and I was like, it says 3 books in one. So I run up to my room and I grab it off the shelf. I'm like, oh my gosh, they made a new edition and they didn't tell anyone.
Now tell me as a collector, if you have the same, anytime something new comes along, I have 2 reactions. Part of me is like, yes. And then part of me is like, oh, another thing.
I hate it. Like, especially if it's a bind up like that. If it's a collection of previously published materials, it's just like, oh my gosh, now I got to find more room on my shelf. But I have to get it. And I'm excited because I'm like, it's a new Berenstain Bears book. And sometimes they're really nice edition. Like, remember when Dover came out with all of those bind ups and like really high quality glossy paper.
Oh yeah.
Like they all of nice. those Dover editions were really nice. And it was like, oh wow, it's the first time Do It books again. And it was like, you know, some of those other books that had been out of print for a long time. So I just want to give a shout out to the Dover series because they basically reprinted the paper doll books.
Oh yeah.
The giant Christmas book and yeah, it was the Count on Numbers, which was like a bunch of those fun way to learn about like coloring books.
Oh yeah,
hadn't been out in 25 years. So
did they do that really thick yellow coloring book also?
Yep.
Like, wasn't that Dover?
Yep.
Yeah, really
yep.
Nice.
Yeah.
You know, one thing I forgot to look for in your printed list, it's probably there, is that awful Costco one that we just had to find.
Oh yeah, I think I did get that one on.
Okay.
There.
Oh yeah.
Oof. But yeah, that's a good reminder. I'm gonna just write in my notes to double check that new Costco book from 20. I think we determined it actually came out in 2021.
Yes.
But didn't discover it until 2022.
And that's a difficult thing about collectors. Just for anyone listening to this, is there's a lot of store exclusives that the Berenstain site never even announces.
Yeah. Like,
and maybe they might not even know about them. To be honest with you, it might just be the publisher putting them out.
I feel like that's possibly true because they're usually older books that have already been published. So there might be something in their contract that says that whether it's Random House or whether it's HarperCollins, that they can take any of those titles and bind them up in any way they want and create exclusive editions. I just think it's strange, though, that they wouldn't tell the Berenstains or that the Berenstains wouldn't advertise that, because I read their newsletter every month where they talk about the new books that are coming out, and they never mention those store exclusive ones. Yeah.
Oh, and then like we usually find out about them, like even like those have like a 4-month shelf life. So if you find out like 6 months later, it's really hard to find them.
It's too late. Yeah. You're a little bit better off if it was one that was a Target exclusive, because Target is so big. I think they print thousands of those, right? But like if it's an exclusive that was just on the bargain shelf at Costco for a month or two, I don't think they make very many of them.
Right. Yeah. And then there's Sam's ones. I feel like the Sam's ones aren't quite as rare as the Costco, are they?
No, I feel like the Costco ones are the most rare.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's $60 a year Costco membership.
I know.
But I do like their snack bar, so it's all worth it.
What do you get at the snack bar at Costco?
Oh my gosh. Last time I went, like I got the sundae, the slice of pizza, and the corn, whatever, like the corn top. Oh my God. I'm like, and I'm just sitting there like picking out with a Berenstain Bear book in front of me.
You are a mess, and I am here for it. I love it. Oh man. Well, is there anything else on the list that like is jumping out at you or that we should share with anybody who's listening? Aside from the fact that, if anybody ever discovers, like something incorrect or missing, they should just reach out to me, cause all my contact info is on the website, but.
And you will answer them.
And unlike Jeremy 20 years ago, I won't ignore you. I will actually respond to you.
I do have to say the bane of our existence, maybe I shouldn't say this, but who cares, is when someone new will come in our group. Is there a list of Berenstain Bear books? And every time I see the post pending, I'm like, here we go.
I'm like, how did you find this group and not find my website? Because the first, if I mean, I don't know, maybe my Google algorithm is all messed up because I go to the website so often. But if I Google list of Berenstain Bears books, my website is second.
Yeah, yours is second.
You get the Wikipedia list, which is terrible.
Terrible.
We should just try to delete that article from Wikipedia. But then mine is next. And like, it would be to find our group on Facebook is way harder than just like Googling list of Berenstain Bears books. So yeah, I always bite my tongue and then I paste the link and I say,
well, you might send me a message.
Yeah. It's good though. It's good teamwork though. You approve new members, I approve the posts. It works out great.
Yeah. And there have been a few things like that Gypsy has found in the bibliography, right?
Yes. Actually, she's become like a pretty good editor because she has pointed out a few things that were missing or books that are in the wrong category. Like especially right. I would get the I Can Read books mixed up sometimes because there's the I Can Read Living Lights and then there's the I Can Read HarperCollins. And they look exactly the same. And sometimes you can't tell based on the title. So sometimes when I was just like adding them to the list, I would just like do it without thinking. And she caught a bunch of those. And then there were just one or two that were and there were a couple books that were missing for like several years. I can't think of a title off the top of my head, but there was a book from 2014, Jeremy, that was missing on my list until like 6 months ago.
And Gypsy found it?
And Gypsy found it. She's like, I just can't find this book anywhere. And I went and looked again. I was like, oh my gosh, it's like not on there.
Yeah, I'm so lazy. I have the Living Lights and I can read all this in one category. So yep. I probably should separate them on my little list that I keep.
You should. You really should. Yeah. A real collector would, let me just say
that's
that.
Right.
A true collector.
We won't say any names.
That's right.
But I feel like every year now, when you update your list, we should do an episode talking about the things that have been added in the prior year.
Okay, now that's a great idea. And which is also why I kind of want to like, I'm glad that we're doing this and why I said I want to make these updates and I kind of want to freeze the list for a while. So then it'll be easier for me to keep track of, okay, what are all of the things that we discovered? What are all of the things I added in the past year? And then we can tell people about it and be like, this is what you should be looking for because most of you are probably using a version of the list that's a year or two old and you should be on the lookout for these new items. Yeah.
You always wonder if the year will come where there's just nothing new to find, but that year has not come yet.
It's never. I mean, a couple of years ago, we had kind of a dry spell. There was a year where not a lot happened, but that was 1 year. And man, we've discovered a lot of new stuff in the past couple of years.
Yeah. Then COVID hit and everyone started cleaning out their basement and attic. So.
And we had more time to like sit on our computers. And so
I was driving Brad crazy for a little bit because I literally was just sitting, hitting refresh on my eBay because I had nothing. Absolutely nothing to do.
No, you were so bored. You were literally just hitting a refresh on eBay.
Refresh.
That's amazing.
Oh, Brad, I do have one more thing to say that just popped in my mind. Yeah. I think part of the history of this list is I think it's so important for us to talk that we went to the Berenstain studio. And I thought for sure that when we went into that archive, oh, here we go. We're going to discover like 8,000 things we didn't know about. And that did not happen. Your list, I don't think we discovered one thing that we didn't know about already, did we?
No, we discovered some cool stuff that, you know, either was never published or stuff that I didn't know about that Stan and Jan had done before they started the Berenstain Bears series. But you're absolutely right. Like, it sort of confirmed that we had done the process and done it correctly, is that everything that we saw there was no treasure trove of like unknown books that were missing that we had overlooked. We had really done our due diligence, and the only rare stuff we found was stuff that either was never published or didn't actually have the Berenstain Bears in it.
And after that, we got to drive to the Play Museum and actually touch the collection that we saw pictures of.
That was really cool. That was an awesome trip. And it renewed, you know, like my interest in and passion for collecting and for the Bears. And, you know, there were times I would say during, you know, the 2000s that I contemplated, you know, getting rid of my collection, selling it, giving it away. And, you know, after we did that trip was what, 4 or 5 years ago now.
Yeah.
I've never once thought about that since we went on that sort of pilgrimage.
And speaking of pilgrimages, I do have one more question to ask, because this is interesting to me. What about when you didn't have your collection at home and updating the list? Was that hard?
That was really hard. That was the most, well, I would say it wasn't the hardest. It was,
but for
hard.
The listeners, Brad, yep, for a while donated his collection to the local library, right?
Yeah, it was in a bookstore. So there's a bookstore in Austin, Minnesota that has a mini museum in it. And so I had about 90% of my collection on display there for several years. I mean, it was several years. I think it was like 4 years.
It really gave me anxiety.
Yeah, me too. But like, not only was the collection not with me in my house, but it was an hour and a half away. And when I wanted to look something up, I couldn't. I was like, I need to check the ISBN number, or I need to double check that I actually have that edition of that book, because sometimes I don't trust my document, right? And it didn't slow me down from collecting new items. And in fact, it allowed me to keep track of new acquisitions very easily, because they would pile up at home and that was the only stuff I had. But I'm still trying to organize. I've had it back in my house now for about 2 years. And I'm still realizing that, oh, I was missing this one edition of this one book the whole time, because the one thing I've really gotten into now is getting all the different editions of the beginner books and the bright and early books.
Okay.
So the original edition, the book club edition, the revised cover, the 40th anniversary edition, the British edition.
Oh my gosh. The Bears Holiday.
Yep, exactly. So basically what I'm trying to do is, now I would never have been able to do that when I didn't have the collection in front of me. Yeah.
What were the weird versions like that were soft cover with like a red border around them?
So that was the original sort of like British version. Not original, the version that came out in like the 90s.
Okay.
And now they've got new paperback editions of all of those with like newer covers, and I'm working on collecting those as well. But it's so expensive because I have to order them from England, and the shipping is like atrocious. So every once in a while I just pick one up. But every time I buy one, it costs like $30. I spent $30 for a paperback book. It's a total ripoff. But once you start, you can't stop. It's not like I can have only two books in that series. I want to have like all of them.
At least there's not that many where it won't take too long to get all of them.
That's correct, right? There's only like 15 books in that series. So
I was telling Brad, my crazy purchase of the last year is there's a book in, was it Korea?
Yeah.
It was an American edition, but for some reason, a Korean seller had it out there. And you can't buy from the sites directly, so I had to contact a third-party website that buys for you. You pay them a fee to buy for you. The person ships it to them, and then they ship it to you. So it's like this three-part process, and it cost you like $80 for this book bundle that was from Costco, by the way. That cost probably like $10 originally, but it's fun. When it came here, I'm like, it's here.
I love it. I love it. Well, man, I don't know. That's all I know for tonight. But I'm really glad that we got to dedicate a whole episode to just the list and how it grew and became what it is, and how it will transform over time, and how I'm gonna log off this Zoom here in a few minutes, and I'm gonna go make a few additions to the online one so that I don't forget this time, because you have such an eagle eye, and I really appreciate all of the contributions that you've made to the list.
Well, Brad, thanks for the friendship and for the collecting. I mean, this is just awesome. It's one of my favorite things in life.
Same. I feel the same way. So on behalf of our host, Phil? I am Brad Mariska.
I'm Jeremy Gloff.
And thank you for joining us for another episode of
Deep in
Bear Country. Banjo music.